Welcome to the Married and Naked podcast. I'm Tammy, founder of the blog Married and Naked, certified sexuality coach and speaker.
And I'm Joel, TV host, motivational speaker, and the guinea pig to the lessons you're about to learn.
We're high school sweethearts married over two decades, and we're on a mission to help you create the marriage you desire and deserve. Let's get naked.
Welcome into the Married and Naked podcast. Baby, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I think we're a hot mess today.
I wish that we could put a camera on the behind the scenes of how we're actually making this podcast.
People would think we don't like each other.
Oh my gosh.
We do like each other.
We love each other.
But sometimes prepping for this podcast gets a little bit dicey.
I know that other podcasters deal with this stuff. We're having computer issues, audio issues, new microphone issues, and then marital issues on top of all that.
All that is causing the marital issues.
It's true. But we're so excited to be with you guys. How are you guys doing?
Hopefully well.
I was waiting for the response, but yes, hopefully well. How you doing, sweetheart?
I'm good. It's good to be back, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I know we had a little bit of a gap, but...
We did. And in that gap, we had a lot happen. We had the holidays and we had COVID.
Oh my gosh. You got COVID first, then you gave it to me.
I did. I gave it to you and to my sister.
Yeah.
That was terrible. It kind of ruined our Christmas.
It did. It was the first time we had a Christmas with just the four of us.
Well, we usually go to big family gatherings and everybody had to postpone their Christmas, including my sister and her family, because she was sick. We were sick. It was a very strange holiday for us. Not that it wasn't nice just to not have, you know, a lot going on. We were kind of forced to be stuck, but also we missed everybody a lot. But we did have a late Christmas, just what, a week or so ago, something like that. We all gathered and just treated it as if it was Christmas. We played White Elephant and it was fun. It didn't feel like it was any other day, but we did get hit pretty hard with COVID and I got hit really hard and I still have a little bit of a cough and a tickle. So if that does show up, I apologize. But yeah, that's where we're at today.
Absolutely. Nothing like a mid-January Christmas celebration to make up for Christmas for the year before. Anyhow. Yeah, pretty crazy. You know, I think...
Stay on track, baby.
I think this is the perfect episode for what's about to be discussed today. You're already rolling your eyes at me. You already got the stink eye going.
I don't have a stink eye.
Yeah, I mean, a cute. It's a very adorable stink eye. It really is. This is the perfect episode to bring out what we're about to bring out here today.
I think so too. We're just going to have a little fun today. I think what happens sometimes, or what, let's say what happens to me when I listen to a podcast, is I imagine like the lives of the people I'm listening to and how fantastic it is and how perfect they are and how easy everything must be. And I think that is an easy thing to fall into when you're listening to podcasts of couples. You know, married couples who are doing marriage podcasts, I think it's easy to fall into that trap of thinking, oh, their life is way better, or they've got it all figured out, or they don't ever fight. They're never mad at each other. And I mean, the truth is we're just a normal couple who goes through the same things that you guys do. So I think this is just a fun way to show how very normal you and I are. So today we are going to be peeling back some pet peeves. It's a little bit scary.
It's a little bit scary because as we've done in past podcasts, we've actually taken the time to write out what each other's pet peeves are, like what my pet peeves are for you.
I don't know what they are.
And you don't know what they are.
I can take a guess, but yes.
And right. I could probably take a guess what mine are for you. Uh-huh. And you haven't told me what yours are for me. Uh-huh. I'm sure your list is very long.
We're only picking three.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shoot. Okay, let me erase it.
You're funny.
You know, it's funny. What you said a minute ago is so true. Like we're normal. We're no different than anyone else. You and I just got around to finishing up the Harry and Meghan story on Netflix, their story, you know, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's.
Their documentary.
Yeah. And I remember, I don't know what episode it was, but I remember turning to you saying, isn't that funny? They're just like normal people. Mm-hmm. Like they were making plans to get on an airplane to, he was making plans to get an airplane from California to land in England. And he had to do a COVID test a certain amount of time beyond before he can then get back on another airplane to come back. And they were going through all those plannings. And I was just like, we're just, everyone's normal. We're all dealing with the same stuff. It doesn't matter if you're a prince. So anyways, all that to say, yeah, we're very normal.
Yeah, I don't think they're very normal. However,
but the,
their,
you know,
relationship,
what I mean.
Yes, it felt just like any other sweet love story. Although I did tell you when it was over, I was like, they don't really show like fights that they had.
Right.
And the problems, they did kind of seem like perfect. And I'm sure that's, you know, I know that's a documentary making it look as though, but I did leave that one thinking, oh my gosh, they're just the cutest, most perfect couple ever.
They were.
Now, but again, we do need to remind ourselves that they're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. And we certainly aren't. And I'm sure Harry and Meghan have their pet peeves of each other as well. Maybe that'll be their next documentary.
You're right. They're definitely not normal.
And he doesn't call himself like normal as far as he's normal, but as far as their life, that's not normal.
No, yeah. No, I would not want to deal with what they dealt with.
Yeah.
With paparazzi and all
well,
that
luckily,
stuff.
Well, luckily we don't have to do that, baby.
No, we don't.
Okay. So why don't we do a back and forth of our pet peeves? We'll just share and see what comes of each of those. And then at the end, I do have a few things to think about when thinking about pet peeves in your own relationship and how to kind of manage those and not let them tear apart your relationship. If you want to share your own pet peeves and how they might be working within your relationship, either positively or negatively, you can share that with us at marriedin@gmail.com. That's how you can contact us. Send us any questions, send us any ideas for future podcasts. We read through all those emails, so we would love to hear from you. All right. Who wants to go first?
Oh my gosh. I feel like I'm jumping on the sword if I go first. I'll go first. Okay. So one of my pet peeves, if you walk into most rooms that Tammy occupies in a house, you will find a cup or two or three or possibly, no kidding, four. Right now, I'm looking in this room as we are recording this podcast. Let me make sure there's nothing behind this. I count two cups in her possession at this very moment. Now, having multiple cups is not necessarily the pet peeve. The pet peeve begins when she leaves the room and one, two, three, or possibly four cups still remain in the room. And Tammy's out in the kitchen going, where's my cup for anything? And guess what she does? You got it. She'll get another cup. So that is a pet peeve. Now, this is one that we've, you know, dealt with year after year. As time goes by, I even had the thought of making a TikTok specifically to where's my wife's cups or how many cups does my wife have today? Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's not cool. That's not cool at all. So I thought I would just air it out right here on the Pet Peeve podcast. So
I don't really understand what the problem is. But I don't know. I don't know if we're supposed to be sharing our thoughts about our pet peeves because here, listen. I'm going to start it like my son.
That's what Dawson says.
My son always says,
listen.
Listen. Listen. I know there are many ladies out there who understand, possibly men too, but I've seen a few of my own family members who have this particular need as well. But I need a water cup.
I'm sorry. I'm
typically need to have
two water cups.
Something else, maybe a tea. And then I often will have like a Diet Pepsi can. And I feel quite happy when I sit down to dinner and I've got all three of my favorite beverages in front of me.
This is no joke, by the way. No joke whatsoever. Tammy will most of the time, have at least two, if not three drinks in front of her at any given time.
I like variety. I like flavor. Like, I like a vitamin water and I like a Diet Pepsi and I like an iced tea.
What do you
got
going
on? I always have to have water.
What do you got going on right now? So what's in the
big Stanley full of water that I keep with me most of the time. I take around in the car and everything with me. And then I also have a cup of tea.
Okay, so that's a cup of tea in that giant thing right there.
Yeah.
And then in your big giant Stanley, which I swear, you need to put a link to your Stanleys, because every time you mention Stanley to anyone, they want to know where you got this thing from. How many ounces is that bad boy?
I think this one is 40. Like 40? I think it's 40 ounces. And trust me, it is life changing. Let me tell you, because it has a handle and it will fit into the car cup holder. I mean, life changing. How many of us grab our big bottles to go to the gym or whatever? They don't fit inside the cup holder. This thing is life changing.
How many do you have of those, by the way?
We have two.
I'm sorry, we?
I mean, you can use it if you want to.
No, there is no we with your Stanleys.
Stanley is amazing. Tell me, Joel.
Yes, my love.
Because this has been a pet peeve of yours for a long time.
Yes, sweetheart.
How have you worked through that pet peeve so that it, because honestly, it's such a silly thing, but we used to fight about cups, like fight about cups. So somewhere along the way, you decided, you know what, this isn't enough of a big deal to me to fight about it all the time. I'm going to let go of the argument of it.
Yes.
We haven't argued about it in forever. And now you just laugh at me about it. And sometimes you take my cups down for me. And in fact, you do that quite often.
Yeah, I was going to say sometimes.
No, you do that quite often for me, for sure. So it's somewhere along the way that made a switch.
I wish I can say when or how, but yeah, it's just something that I'm, you know, it's part of you.
Well, I'm glad that you did make that choice, because it's nice that it's not a point of contention anymore, that I don't have to change something about me that I actually like, because I like having multiple drinks by me, and that you've been able to kind of let that go and move on.
Your turn. What in the world could possibly be a pet peeve that I have?
Well, when I was doing TikTok a lot, you know, which I haven't in quite some time, and hopefully eventually we'll get back to for married. But if you will go to the TikTok page, you will find a series that I started doing called Annoying Husband Habits. Because I would be able to just come up with with endless examples of things that you do that drive me bonkers. So then I just started highlighting them on social media, which I find quite hilarious.
Glad you did.
So where to begin?
Oh, geez. Oh my gosh.
Is the question. I really did have to sit and think, which ones do I want to actually address here? Here's one that drives me crazy, and I'm sure many, many people can relate to. Maybe this is like just a thing in relationships, but Joel is quite the backseat driver.
What?
It really, or passenger seat driver, I guess you would call it. It really drives me crazy when I know exactly where I'm going. I'm not asked for any help. I know how to park. I have no problems operating the vehicle, but yet I feel you have to give your opinion and your suggestion literally at every turn. Certainly at any time I'm parking, it is like constant feedback as to what you feel is a better decision in the driving area. And so I am constantly having to say, babe, I'm good. Please, can you stop doing that? Because it makes me crazy.
You don't say it that sweet. Please, when you
what
stop.
What do I say?
Honey, enough. That's usually what I get. It's and you know
but
what?
You know what?
Rightfully
it probably
so.
Got to honey enough, because I said many times, please, and it didn't change.
Rightfully so. I know that I do annoy you with this, and I'm so sorry. I feel so bad. It's a control thing that I'm not, it's not you. It's our kid, our daughter driving. It's my mom driving. It's anyone I'm in a car with.
Yes.
So it's not just you. And I'm so sorry. Really sorry.
When I need help, I do ask, like, babe, I don't know where I'm going, or I don't know, or which way do you recommend? Then I want your input. But for the most part, I feel very comfortable driving, and I don't feel like there's any, and I don't think you do either, there's any concerns about my driving that warrant the feedback that I get from you. It's not like that. It's just a control thing for you. Like, you like being in control. You like making decisions. You like knowing which way we're going. You want to know all that kind of stuff. And if you don't know, you're going to ask a whole lot of questions. So it is interesting, that piece of you.
Yeah. I apologize greatly. I think I apologize to you a lot when we're in the car, because, the moment you say enough, I overstepped. I'm being controlling or I'm trying to be controlling. And again, it has nothing to do with your driving skills, nothing to do with I feel very safe in the car. Yeah. It has nothing to do with that. It's just a piece of my personality that extends outside of the office or what I'm doing and goes right into the car and wants to control everything about the car. So,
well, the thing I do appreciate about you is that once you realize that you're bothering me with that, you do make the effort to stop. You're not so pushy about your opinions that you're not letting it go. It just comes out of your mouth and you don't even realize what's happening. So I appreciate that about you.
Again,
and
I'm sorry.
Okay. It's not a deal breaker. We can make it work.
We can make it work.
Yeah. What about you? What's next?
Okay. I'm going to pull a twofer on this one.
That means you're picking four things. That's not fair.
No. But this one is kind of a combination one. And as I share it, you'll kind of pick up the gist. So a pet peeve of mine, and I think we've discussed this several times on the podcast, is you and I have a different bedtime schedule. Mm-hmm. You need to go to bed early. Mm-hmm. Me, I don't want to go to bed early ever. I want to stay up late. I want to enjoy. I just don't want to go to bed. That leads into the next part of this pet peeve. You will wake up at the sound of a feather hitting the floor, which, if you think about it, for somebody who needs to go to bed early, married to somebody who goes to bed late, you will wake up at the sound of my breath walking into a room, or a slight creak on a floor, or a drag of my sock across the carpet. I cannot ever go to bed without waking you up. And it's beyond a pet peeve. I think this might quite possibly move into the second category, be a problem.
Here's what I find interesting about this. First of all, I could easily say my pet peeve about you is that you go to bed late. Mm-hmm. But I get that about you. You are a night owl. Mm-hmm. And I'm somebody who is naturally an early riser, not because I want to be, because my body says it's time to get up and then I'm up. So because of that reason, I have to go to bed earlier than you. I wish I could stay up with you, but physically I can't, or I'm going to be a total disaster. Which happens at least once over the weekend. I stay up too late. I wake up early. Happened this past weekend. I got like 5 hours sleep one night and I'm a wreck. So that's a physical need of mine to go to bed early.
And I can live with that. And I can
deal
with that.
Yours is a choice.
bed
late. You can go on little sleep. You're fine. So what I find interesting about the part about you coming in, mm-hmm. is that I don't ever complain about you waking me up, ever. It never bothers me. I think it's interesting that you call it a pet peeve of mine, but I don't have any complaint about it. So really, it's a pet peeve because it makes you feel bad.
Yes.
That you wake me up. But no, it doesn't bother me. So guess what? You can let that one go.
It's about feelings.
You can let go of your ninja moves that you're trying to do to not make the floor squeak, or, I can only imagine what that looks like when you come.
I've showed you.
You have like a path.
Oh, I have a path, and I am a flipping ninja because I literally come in every night to failure, by the way. If I were a ninja, I would die every night with a star right through my, you know, my chest, because you would kill me every time because I cannot get past you.
But it's okay, baby, because it doesn't bother me. Okay. I appreciate that you care so much about me that you don't want to wake me up. I really do. It's really sweet, the lengths that you go to try to not wake me up. But it doesn't bother me. It's okay.
Okay.
You can let it go.
All right. Okay. So we'll put this back down.
Doesn't mean you need to come in the door slamming or something like that, but you can let that one go.
All right. All right. We'll back it down to a lesser offensive category.
Okay. So. Good. Good.
Whew. Okay.
All right. Let's get to the offensive category.
Wait. It's a whoa.
Here's one that bugs me. Mm. Joel has a very particular way. This is only one of many examples of this. Of loading the dishwasher.
Jeez, we're going to go there.
And every time somebody does not do it the way that he feels it should be done, a comment is made, a lesson is shown about how to do it correctly, and everybody in the house is irritated. And let me say, this dishwasher thing has been going on, I mean, ever since we moved into this house, for sure. And somewhere you let it go for a long time, like you were fine with it. And now, like the last 2 years, you're back with a vengeance.
Do I respond?
I don't know. Do you? I'm sure you want to defend yourself.
I do, but I feel like I'm not going to win any points or earn any love from you or anyone listening if I try to. So I'm just not going to defend myself. I'm just going to say that this sounds like, if I'm a listener, oh yeah, this falls into the controlling category. Oh. He wants to gain control.
Yes.
Which, you know, is kind of odd because this is my personality type, 100%. But I want deep down to not be in control. Mm. You know,
it's interesting.
It's such a weird thing, right? You know, we talked about, like, I just want you to, you just guide. I just want to hold your hand and you take me. I don't want to be in control. It's exhausting.
Of course. That's what I was going to say, because it's so tiring to try to control everything in every situation that you do want somebody to take over. But when somebody tries to take over, you're not comfortable with that. So that's another debate that you have as well. It's relinquishing that control. Babe, all the dishes are getting cleaned. You know, everything is okay. We're fitting in a ton, but you want it to be a certain way. You want them to come out a certain way or whatever. So it's very interesting.
Well, I mean, if I'm being honest, we could fit in four more dishes. But again,
you are a master at fitting in a lot of dishes
and keeping them clean. But again, I'm not here to defend myself on that, because it doesn't matter what I say. Oh. I feel bad for that. I'm very sorry. I do. I feel bad. You know, I feel bad with the kids too, because I know it frustrates them.
For issues that inconveniences everybody else in the house, it is something just to look at.
I will work on my loading of the dishwasher problem that I clearly have.
This is not to pile on and make you feel bad about yourself. So just keep that in mind. It is just a funny, not so funny quirk about you.
Well, I will say this. I'm going to blow my own whistle here. Not toot my own horn, because I'm blowing the whistle on me. I feel the same way about laundry, where I do the laundry in our house. I do our laundry. I don't do our kids' laundry. I stop doing our kids' laundry. That's their responsibility. And they do a fantastic job at it. At least one of our kids does a really good job at the other kid. But we're not going to name names. Or
moving on.
But I want to do the laundry because I like it a certain way. And I want it to, you know, if it's dry in the dryer, I want to pull it out of the dryer. Why, when it's dry, and I want to fold it right away. And so it's another control thing. And then for whatever reason, I know I've said it before, and it's the weirdest thing, it is a relaxing, it's a little meditative for me doing laundry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird.
Which is wonderful. It's wonderful for me. I love that about you.
Yeah, I don't mind doing it. So anyways, yes, I work on my control. I definitely have control issues.
Okay, obviously. Let's move off you. I don't want you feeling bad. This doesn't make you feel bad.
Okay, well.
What's the last one?
This is a pet peeve we have in our relationship.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah, this is definitely one.
Okay.
That shows up pretty much daily right now, without a doubt. In fact, it showed up not even an hour ago. Actually, it showed up as we were beginning this podcast.
Okay.
And that is our differences in temperature.
Ugh. Yes.
Do you have that on your list too?
No.
Oh, yes. My gosh. I feel like the majority of the people living in this household can regulate their own temperature. Yeah. Like we can get warm and stay warm. Mm-hmm. One person in this household can't seem to do that really ever.
Yeah.
And a heater follows her, literally a heater follows her around the house, depending on which room she's in, and a desire to turn on the heater, even though the other family members in the house are very comfortable. And to land this here, right now I'm currently wearing one pair of short socks, sweats, and a regular t-shirt. And the person I'm staring at has giant alpaca socks on, plus UGG boots, plus pants. Was that one or two shirts?
Just two.
Just two, plus a giant hoodie sweater. And are you cold or hot?
My toes are freezing.
And I'm warm.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I recognize that about myself. And I, again, can't do anything to control that part about myself. But what I do also recognize is that the people in my house don't like that. And I am hyper aware to the point it bugs you that I am trying to be so conscious of how I affect other people in the house by turning on the heater. So I really try not to. If you're not around, you better believe that heater is going to be 75 minimum.
Oh my gosh.
And that is perfect. Now, if you're not in the car, the heat's on blast. But when you guys are around, that's a very different issue.
Wow.
And so I think it should really be my pet peeve that everybody in my house is warm and cozy and my toes are numb. Yeah.
You know, I think that those that are listening to this, you're going to fall on one side of this for sure. You're going to be on Tammy's side where you're always cold, or 75 is your minimum temperature and maybe it's 80 for you. Or you're going to be on my side where you're going to be like, oh my gosh, just throw an arrow into the heater because we don't want it on at all. Your spouse is probably on the opposite side too.
Maybe.
I know that the spouses that in our family around us are the complete opposites as well. And mm-hmm. it's not gender divided either. Mm-hmm. You know, where women like you are cold and men are me like me. No, it's not like that at all in our family.
Right.
It's pretty mixed.
Yeah.
Which is funny. It's very well, funny.
I'm sorry that I run so very cold.
I'm sorry that you run so very cold. I feel so bad that you do.
Love having my little heater on my legs. And as soon as you walk in the room, I turn it off and I get cold just for you.
and oftentimes I will say just keep. Now I'm trying to make me look good here.
No, but you do. You tell me to keep it on, and then I feel bad, so I turn it off. So
and as it's on, yes, I am dying inside. Like I mean, but that's okay.
The sacrifices we make for each other.
Exactly. Aww. Exactly.
That's so nice. Let me tell you the last pet peeve I have for you.
Nope. I think I need to go.
This is a biggie, and I know we're running long, so we could spend a whole episode on this one.
I think we are. Oh, you mean this one?
This one. But we won't go forever because I do want to tell you about the few things to think about with pet peeves. It is that Joel is quite the germaphobe.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And nobody else in the house is. Yeah. I don't know if anybody out there has a partner who is a germaphobe. But this isn't really like the normal level of fear of germs. It's like taking it to a whole new level and wanting family members to do that as well.
And for safety reasons, by the way. Sort of, you know, if I am being defensive in this one, it's for safety.
Yeah.
We've never talked about this before, have we?
Joel is he's the one that refills the antibacterial stuff in the car and make sure that mine is fully loaded, that every time we get in the car, everybody has a pump of it. I mean, I can go on and on about the levels, but I don't want to embarrass you too much. But it is quite irritating sometimes how you are with that.
Well, all I can say is you're welcome for staying safe.
And, wow. Thank you, sweetie. Thank you.
You know, I can't feel too bad for this because we've managed to survive this long on the planet. And part of that is because, you know, I've helped us stay clean and really? Safe and sanity.
Interesting. Sanity. I got COVID and you did too.
Well, you gave it to me. I was trying to stay away from you and it didn't work.
I do also understand that about you. And, you know, I try to be respectful of that to a certain extent, but oftentimes it goes over that extent and it does lean into, oh, this is just so annoying. But I also understand that. And I've bought you gifts, you know, to help with that part of you. And I try to be supportive of you wanting us to have clean hands and everything, but it can get to a point where it's a little intrusive on other people.
I'm sorry. I feel bad that you guys aren't with me on this sometimes.
You feel bad that we're not with you.
I don't know what to say on this one. I don't have an apology hour. I really wish you guys were more with me sometimes on this. And
I don't know anybody with you. I think we have one friend that's similar.
Oh, there's a few out there.
There's a few.
And there's many more of us that are listening. I'm certain of it. In fact,
I'm certain of it too. And I apologize. I'm feeling really bad for their partners.
I got to tell you this. So you got me, this is really embarrassing. I'm saying this. You got me one of the greatest gifts ever. Mm-hmm. And I swear we need to, well, again, we're not here to sell things, but this is a great thing to put up for the germ people in your life. One of the best gifts I've ever gotten from you was a phone cleaner. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those
UV light
phone cleaners that literally every time I come in from being out, doing whatever I'm doing, I'll walk right in, put my keys on the rack and go stick my phone in the UV cleaner. It takes like 4 or 5 minutes to clean it. And it's supposedly clean when mm-hmm. it's done. Mm-hmm. Greatest gift that you got me that last year. Mm-hmm. This past Christmas, you got me a travel UV phone cleaner because mm-hmm. I do take wipes. This is really humbling. I take wipes with me where we go. I wipe down stuff. Obviously, I'm always cleaning off my phone when I'm on the road and doing stuff. You guys know that the phone is the dirtiest thing on your body. It's dirtier than a toilet seat. Okay. I know eyes are already rolling on your head. So I know everybody else is doing the same. Anyway, you got me the travel one.
Yeah.
It is so awesome. Oh my gosh. It's a little smaller version of this. Fits, you know, easy to travel with. Yeah. So it's so cool. So yeah. I'm really, really sorry that,
that
you guys haven't been on board yet. It's going to happen one day. I'm certain of it.
So it's taken us, you know, a little while to get through these. This is just touching the surface.
Well, me, I'm completely out. Oh, I got nothing else. Oh, yeah. So
you're perfect. Otherwise, that's all I have.
Told everyone you dedicated a whole TikTok channel to me.
But I do want to really just for a moment get serious enough to think about and understand that pet peeves can often be very detrimental to a relationship. They can be taken very seriously and can lead to a tremendous amount of challenge and problems. And so I just want to highlight a handful of things to think about. I have 6 things here I want you to think about or practice when evaluating and talking about these pet peeves. We're having a lot of fun with it, but the truth is these have been challenging in our relationship. We have had fights over every single one of them. So it's funny to laugh about, but it's true that had we let them go further and not practice some things in working with these, that they could have been very detrimental to our relationship. So the first thing, and I know we alluded to this, but the first thing to think about is asking a question, is it a deal breaker? Is this the annoyance, this thing that's bugging you, is it a deal breaker? Is it something that you cannot ever let go of? Or is it something that's more of an annoyance and it's something you can let go of, or you can process through maybe and come up with some strategies with your spouse? So think of that, because sometimes there are deal breakers, a serious lack of respect or whatever that might be in your relationship. But oftentimes, and usually these things are just annoyances because you're different people coming into relationship, you know, bringing in your own habits and all that and how you live differently than your partner. And the ideal is to be able to accept those differences about each other or work through them together. So ask yourself if it's a deal breaker, can you begin to let it go? If not, communicating the frustration. But here's the thing, I want you to practice communicating without criticism. So if I'm coming to Joel and just saying, oh my gosh, you're so annoying because you're always giving me such a hard time about germs, or you make everybody feel like such crap about things. If I'm coming at you saying things a certain way, it's going to put you on the defensive. And I have done this in the past. It puts you on the defensive.
We both have, absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah.
But nothing is going to get accomplished. All that's going to do is make you feel bad and make us argue. So instead, think about how you're approaching these things that you cannot let go of, and ensure that you're not using criticism. John Gottman, as I've said before, says that criticism is one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse of marriage, meaning if you have regular criticism in your marriage, you are more likely to wind up divorced. So be very conscious of criticism. The next is seek to understand why they have the habit and also why it bothers you so much. I have a lot more empathy towards you when I'm really trying to understand how germs affect you and scare you. If I can have some empathy towards that, then it allows me to find my own balance within being okay with certain things, getting you gifts that help support that. And also asking myself, why is this bothering me so much? Like the cup thing for you, why is it bugging you so much? It doesn't really affect you, but to kind of evaluate that for yourself and have your own check-in. Your spouse isn't perfect, and neither should they have to be for you. They have their own habits and way of living, and coming together is finding kind of a respect and balance in that living. It's not their job to come all your way, and nor is it vice versa, but to find kind of a happy middle. Once you kind of have that understanding, then work on addressing the pet peeve and talk about, can we talk about the dishwasher and how it makes me feel when I don't load it the way you want to? And can we find a way that we can load it to where you're not always having to give us directions on it? Or can we find some kind of happy medium? Addressing the issue and kind of finding that middle ground together. I think it's really important to talk about them, not let those pet peeves, you know, build up, because they will then cause resentment in many areas. So it is important to address them, but just to address them is remembering that you're a team working together and addressing it in a really respectful way. And the other thing is, I think, to really remember that you're not perfect.
What? I'm sorry, what?
Meaning, I didn't mean you're not perfect. I mean, I'm not perfect.
What?
So I have a lot of...
I just said you were.
You're very cute. I have a lot of maybe things that bother me about you, but I know I'm not perfect and I don't do things great all the time either. Or I've got my own things that I know bother you as well. So neither of us are perfect. Also, just remember being humble in your own imperfection.
I mean, that borders on the line of enlightenment through this topic. If I have a pet peeve about you, certainly you've got to have some about me. Therefore, like you said, we've different backgrounds, different everything.
Yeah.
And so we're
I can't expect you to be perfect because I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then lastly, and I think really importantly, is to really point out the things to your spouse that you do love and appreciate. If all you are doing, or if the majority of your attention is focused on the things that bug you about your spouse, you are heading down a very dangerous path. If you think about parenting, the way to elevate and lift a child is to give them positive reinforcement, to tell your kids that they're doing such a great job and you're so proud of them. It's no different with your spouses. Our job is to focus on the things that we do love. Thank them for the things that you do appreciate. Wow, I love how you do the laundry. Thank you for that. I appreciate it so much. Rather than, it irritates me so much how you are with the dishwasher. You know, pick your battles and talk about and say the things that you love and appreciate about your spouse. It's so, so important.
You look so good in my sweater, trying to keep warm with that big old sweater of mine on. You really do. You wear
it. And you do supply me with plenty of sweater.
you wear it so much better than I do.
Oh, and there we go. That's pet peeves. And what I'm proud of is we can sit here and laugh and talk about these, because they have been big things in our relationship. And we're good and we're having a good time about it and nothing is taken too serious. And, you know, having kind of a sense of lightness about it is wonderful. I'm proud of us for that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it as well. Are we going to go get some dinner? Are you driving or am I driving?
You're funny. I'm not driving.
Fine.
I don't like to be told what to do.
I'll put duct tape on my mouth, I promise.
All right. Thank you so much for being here today with us in the Married and Naked podcast. And we're so excited to see you next time. Have a great week. Bye, everybody.